You got it. That's why it keeps switching off. Okay, you can hear me now?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Okay, we're doing our Chazorah, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, which is always very enjoyable. And I believe we got up to the Tes Zion Omud base. Tes Zion Omud base, towards the end of the narrow lines, Ve'ein Oisin Sanhedrois. The Mishnah said that if ever you appoint a Sanhedrin, it's got to be done so in the presence of a Beis Din of 71. Says the Gemara, we're doing Chazorah. The last narrow line, Minolon. How do I know this to be the case? Could Ashkechon the Moshe, as we find with Moshe Rabbeinu, the Uki Sanhedrois, he was one who installed the Sanhedrin, or Moshe, Bemokim Shivim Vechadkoi. And we know that Moshe Rabbeinu stands in the place of 71, as we've mentioned in several places. So if Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who installed the Beis Din, so you see that you need 71 to appoint a Beis Din. Says the Gemara Tan Rabbanan, Minayin Shema'amidim Shoftim Li Yisrael. How do I know that Bichlal there is a mitzvah to appoint judges? Talmud Lomar Shoftim Titein, because the Torah clearly says you shall place Shoftim. Shoytrim Li Yisrael Minayin. How do I know that there's a mitzvah to install not just judges but also, as it were, a police force? Talmud Loma, Shoytrin Titin. Next halacha, Shoftim Rakol Shevet V'Shevet Minayin. How do I know that the mitzvah is not just to appoint Shoftim for all of Klal Yisrael, but rather for every Shevet individually? Talmud Loma, Shoftim Lishvotecho. Halacha number four, Shoytrim Rim Lechol Shevet V'Shevet Minayin. Talmud Loma, Shoytrim Lishvotecho. Halacha number five, Shoftim l'chol ir ve'ir. How do I know that in addition to every shevet, but every town has to have its shoftim? Talmud Lomar, shoftim lisha'orecha, to your gates, meaning your town gates. Halacha number six, and final halacha, shoyt rim l'chol ir ve'ir minayin. Talmud Lomar, shoyt rim lisha'orecha. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, echod mumuna al kulon. One is in charge of all. What does that mean? That means even though, as we mentioned, every town, every shevet has their local Beis Din, but there is one large Beis Din we've discussed many times, that's the Sanhedrin HaGedolah, and they are, as it were, the Supreme Court that oversees the affairs of all the other Batei Din. Shenema Titein Lecho. Titein Lecho, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Oimer, Lishvotecho V'shoftu. Mitzvah b'shevet lodun es shiftei. Another halacha, the mitzvah is always for the shevet to judge its own shevet. So if somebody is a member of shevet Zvulun, then he does not attend the Beis Din of shevet Yehuda. Says the Gemara, ve'ein oisin ir hanidachas. If ever we need to deem a town as the ir hanidachas, which means that roiv of them serve avodah zarah, they need to be killed. And that needs to be done also by a Beis Din of 71. Says the Gemara Minoan. How do I know? Omer Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Omer Rabbi Yishiyot, Omer Kro, Voitzeisoi Eso Ish Hahu, Oy Eso Isho Hahi. This is talking about when an individual serves Avodah Zarah, not an Ir HaNidachas. But the Diuk is, when an individual is taken to be sentenced for Avodah Zarah, it says, you will take this man, all this woman out, lishe'orecho. Now, what does that mean, lishe'orecho, to your gates? As we said before, it means to your local Beis Din. So the diuk, therefore, is it's only an individual, an ish or an isha, who gets taken and judged by your local Beis Din. And that's the drasha of the Gemara. Voitzeisoi eso ish hahu eso isha hahi, quote unquote, ish ve'isha. If it is a man and woman, meaning individual, then atomitzi l'sha'orecha, then indeed you would take them out to your gates, meaning to your local Beis Din. However, The iatomoti kol ha'ir kula l'sharecha. But I would not, however, take out the entire city to the local bezdin. And therefore, this is the makor, that wherever you're judging the entire city as a whole, then you cannot treat them in the same way as you would an individual. So whereas an individual would be taken l'sharecha, meaning your local bezdin, that's because it's an ish or an isha. But if it's a whole town, they cannot be judged b'sharecha, and they've got to go to the Supreme Court, the Beis Din HaGadol. Ein oisin ir anidachas b'seifa. Remember, we said if ever you have like a neighboring town, which is not quite in the central, but in between two lands, in between two nachalois, then you would not make like an outlying city in ir anidachas. My timer, what's the reason? It's a drosha. Mikirbecha, from amongst you. It's got to be in a very busy, inhabited, populated area. Omar Achmona, Veloimina Seifa, but not some outlying, desolate city. Even though there might well be people living there, but it's got to be Mikirbecha. Veloi Shalosh. Remember the Mishnah said you would not make three Ir Hanidachas. So we had a question about this. What does that mean you would not make three? Does that mean one Bezdin can't do it at the same time, or in their entire lifetime, or in all of Eretz Yisrael? What exactly does this mean, you would not make three Erni Dachas? So the Gemara says, Diksiv, as it says, Achas. Avol Oisin, Achas, Oishtein. You're allowed to make one or two. Diksiv, Orecho. Orecho is the plural, your cities. Okay, so we're up from one to two. So you're allowed to make two Irani Dachas. So we'll see what this means now. Ton Rabbonon, Achas. Achas veloy sholosh. One, it says in the Torah, from which we learn one and not three. Ato oime achas veloy sholosh. How do you know it means to say one as opposed to three? Maybe oyein oyelo achas veloy shtayim. So as we said before, it can't be. Keshu hu oime orecho, quote unquote. If the Torah clearly says orech, which means a plural form of the word city, cities, then harishtaim omur. So two has clearly been stated. The Torah is clearly telling me that you can make two irani dachasis. So what does it mean? Omani mekayim achas, quote unquote. So how do I learn that word achas? It must be achas veloy sholish. Okay. Now, zimnin, on one occasion, omar rav, bebezdin echod hu de'ein oisim. So Rav said on one occasion that it's true, one Bezdin cannot make several, meaning three, Irani Dachasis. But if it's two or three different Bezdins, then no problem. He could do one, they could do one, another one could do one, even though Sachakol, altogether, might well be up to three or four Irani Dachasis. So Rav on one occasion said that's no problem. The whole prohibition is against one Bezdin judging three Irani Dachasis. That's what he said on one occasion. V'zimnin, and on another occasion, he said something else completely. It sounds like a steer in Rav, or maybe he changed his mind. V'zimnin, Omar Rav, no. Afilu b'shnayim v'shloisha botei dinim. On another occasion, he retracted and said, even if you're talking about several botei din, either two or three, nonetheless, lo oilom ein oisim. You never ever do three Irani Dachasis, even if it's two or three Bezdins. If there's been a history in this country of one and then two Irani Dachas, then another Bezdin, even another Bezdin, cannot now make a third city in Irani Dachas. So it's not limited, according to the second version of Rav, it's not limited to one particular Bezdin, it's any Bezdin. You cannot be the third Irani Dachasis in the country. Why? My timer, the Rav. Mishum Korcho. What does Korcho mean?
Desolation.
Korach. Korach was bald. When something is bald and it's totally devoid of hair, meaning it's desolate. So therefore, we don't want to judge three Ir Hanidachases, because you remember the halach of Ir Hanidachas is very, very brutal. You've got to wipe out everybody in the city and burn the city down to the ground. So if you do that once, twice, thrice, you do this three times, then Korcho, you're making Eretz Yisrael, as it were, bald. You're knocking out cities like flies. Omer Esh Lakish, even if that's true, Loishanu Ela B'mokim Echad. That's all true if you're making three Iri Anidachases in one area. So then if you wipe out three cities, you're basically knocking out the whole area off the map. That's when we have this concern of Korcho. Avol b'shnayim b'shloisha mekayim ha'isaisin. But if it's different places, you have Iri Anidachas, one in the north, one in the south, one in the center, so then you're not making Eretz Yisrael Korcho because it's not all concentrated in one area. That was the opinion of Rish Lakish. However, Rabbi Yechonah disagreed. Rabbi Yechonah and Amar that no. Ein oisim. You would not do so. You would not make three Eir Nidachases, even if it's not concentrated in one area, Mishum Korcho. Because as far as I'm concerned, that's still considered as you're making Eretz Yisrael, as it were, bald and desolate. It doesn't make a difference, says Rabbi Yechonah, whether it's limited to one area or it's not limited to one area. It's all the same. It's always awesome. And the Gemara says, we have a supporting braisa. Tanya Kvaseid Rabbi Yechonah, Ein oisim Shalosh Ayoris. The Brisa says you would not make three cities into an Iri Anidachas in Eretz Yisrael. Avol oisin oisam shtayim kagoin achas b'Yehuda v'achas b'Galil. So if they're two completely different areas, then it would be okay. Avol shtayim b'Yehuda v'shtayim b'Galil. If two of them are in the same area, then that's it. Ein oisin. V'smucha l'safor, and if it's close to one of these outlying villages that we mentioned before, then afilu achas ein oisin. My time, it's too dangerous. If you start raising cities down to the ground, and it's not really in a heavily concentrated Jewish area, it's close to the goyim, it's danger. Shemo yishmu nochrim. Maybe the goyim will hear about it. The achrivu es eretz Yisrael. So again, what was the maskana of the Gemara? The maskana of the Gemara is that even if all three are not in one area, even if just two are in one area, then that's too much. That's too much, and you cannot now make an Iri Anidachas two in the same area. If one of them is the outlying village, then bechlal you wouldn't do that. Now, one moment. Didn't we say before that the reason why you can't make the Safar, the outlying village, into Iri Anidachas, we had a drasha, it says, Mi kirbacha, from amongst you. And yet now we seem to be saying something else completely. We seem to be saying that it's for a technical reason, because if it's too close to the goyim, we don't want to start raising a city down to the ground. So the Gemara says, Kasha. Says the Gemara of a taper clay, Demi kirbacha, Omer Achmona, Veloy Menaseifa. Didn't we say before that it's all derived from the word Mikir B'cha? Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon, he the Dorish time of the crawl. This is going to, according to Rav Shimon, Rav Shimon's world-famous opinion is that you're allowed to be Dorish, the reasons behind Psukim. So, is this halacha learned from a posuk, or is there some very logical reason behind it? And the answer is both. It begins with a pasuk, and it's Rav Shimon suggesting that this is the reasoning behind the pasuk. Were this not to be Rav Shimon, then what would we say? We would have said, listen, that's what it says in the pasuk, and that's it. We don't give reasons. But Rav Shimon is the one who is always Derish Talmud Akra, and therefore he said, listen, if the Torah writes that the Iri Anidachas has to be Mikir B'cha, then presumably the logic behind it is that we don't want to do so close to goyim, etc., etc. Now, I don't want to launch now into a whole hashkafic discussion, which is really not our inyan, and will take us off course. But there is, of course, a big shaila lahashkafa, when you do give reasons, when you don't give reasons. I don't want to get involved in that now. What I want to look at is the more halachic slant at it, just for a moment. Halachically, again, we have a big world-famous chiddush of Rav Shimon. Rav Shimon holds, you are Doiresh Tama the Kra. You are Doiresh Tama the Kra. You are allowed not us, but Amoraim, the Tanoim, to give reasons behind the halachas in the Torah. If you disagree with Reb Shimon, excuse me, if you disagree with Reb Shimon, then you're not Derish Tam of the Krom. So if it's a Xeris HaKosov, it's a Drosha, you take it as it is, and that's it. Now, what's the difference besides for Ashkafics? I do not want to get involved in Ashkafics at the moment. What's the difference halachically? Halachically, what's the difference whether you are or are not Derish Tam of the Krom? So let's give an example. Torah says, don't wear shatness. So don't have in one beged wool and linen. Now, if you hold that you are not Derish Tam of the Krom, well, then we're not Derish Tam of the Krom. So why don't we wear shatness? Because the Torah said so. And if your name is Reb Shimon says you are Derish Tam of the Krom. And if you're Derish Tam of the Krom, then you have to scratch your head and think to yourself, well, why would the Torah forbid the wearing of wool and linen together? And you'd come up with a logic. Fine. Is there any halachic ramification of that machlekas? Again, I do not want to get involved in Ashkafics. Ashkafics, everybody can obviously see the difference between the two opinions. Our whole approach to keeping mitzvahs, is it because we do understand them, we don't understand them, and Eved Hashem, etc., etc.? That's not my question. Is there a halachic difference between the opinion of Reb Shimon, who is Derish Tam of the Krom, and the opinion that opposes it and says, we are not Derish Tam of the Krom?
Well, aren't there chukim and mishpatim? Aren't there a segment of Torah that halachically you can't question?
All mitzvahs, you're Derish Tam of the Krom. Is there a halachic ramification? That's my question. Or is this purely a philosophical discussion?
Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana? So if you investigate and you have the wrong Kavanas?
No, because Kavana is never negair to the reasoning behind the mitzvah. Mitzvah Tzrichas Kavana just means you have to have a Kavana that I'm doing a mitzvah. The halachic ramification between the two opinions is when the logic that you are suggesting behind the mitzvah, for whatever reason, doesn't apply, well, is the halacha then waived? Okay, so let's give an example. We just learned that you have an outlying village. There's not many Jews there. It's on the border. You don't make that town into an Ir Nidachas. Why not? So initially we said, because it says Mikir B'chom. Mikir B'chom means from amongst you. And this is not amongst you because it's not a richly populated area with Yidden. Comes along Reb Shimon and says, I want to give a logic. You know what my logic is? Because it's too close to the non-Jewish area. And if you bring this city down to the ground, then it's too dangerous. The goyim will see that there's a weakness in the Jews. And look at their cities are being raised to the ground and they might invade, etc., etc., etc. So the halachic nafkamina would be, what would be, for example, if you have this outlying village where it's true, it's not richly populated by Jews, but to be perfectly honest, it's nowhere near any non-Jews either. So it might well be on the outlying, it's not the main metropolis is in place X, and this is at the edge of X, but there's no non-Jews from a billion miles. So according to those who disagree with Reb Shimon, they say, excuse me, we're not Derish Tam of the Krom. The Torah says it's got to be Mikir B'cha, period. So if this is outlying city, we never ever make it Ir Nidachas. Whereas according to Reb Shimon, no, it's based on logic. So if the logic doesn't apply, well then clearly the halacha doesn't apply either. So therefore, this whole discussion between Reb Shimon and others is not just a hashkafic theological discussion, it's a halachic discussion. Because if ever you suggest the reasoning behind mitzvahs, well, if for whatever reason you can design a scenario where that logic does not apply, well, then presumably the whole halacha does not apply either. So you can imagine this is a huge, huge controversial discussion, both on a hashkafic plane, on a halachic plane as well. Either way, halacha l'maisa, we need to know. We do not paskin like Reb Shimon, and this goes back to what Larry was saying before. We certainly have mitzvahs that are chukim, and we may be allowed to suggest the logic, but we certainly don't depend the fulfillment of the mitzvah on that logic. Okay, with that, we continue. Sanhedri Gedoila Hoysof. So again, this took us back to the Mishnah Daf Beis Amud Aleph, and we know that the Sanhedrin Gedoila, how many Dayanim were there? There were 71. According to Rabbi Yehuda, there were 70. Says the Gemara, bottom line, my time de Rabbi Abonon. How did the Rabbonon, there was a machlokes in the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says it's 70, but the Rabbonon said it's 71. So where did we get that number 71 from? Omri, because they said Moshe al gabehen, meaning we know quite clearly that the Torah said that you got to appoint shivim zakenim. So shivim zakenim presumably is clearly the makor of Rabbi Yehuda, who says at 70. But where did you get 71? So the answer is said the Rabbanu, because Moshe Rabbeinu, as it were, joined the Bezdin. He was overseeing the entire Bezdin, and he became a member of that Bezdin. So therefore, HaKadosh Baruch was really telling him, gather Shivim Zakenim and then join them. So altogether, 71. Omoisho Gaben Omakro Vehisyatzvu Shom Imoch. Vehisyatzvu Shom Imoch. HaKadosh Baruch was telling Moshe Rabbeinu that they should be Imoch. What does Imoch mean? Imoch means with you. If it's with you, it means the 70 are with you, and you are Moshe Rabbeinu number 71, which the Gemara says on the top line means Imoch va'at ba'adayu. They're with you, and you are with them. Okay, so now we need to send the ball back to Rabbi Yehuda. So why does Rabbi Yehuda maintain that it's only 70 is a Kenim? After all, it does say in the pasuk Imoch, says the Gemara of Rabbi Yehuda, Imoch mishum shechina. Remember, we saw two pshatim in Rashi, what this means. Either it means that they should stand outside of the oihel, but they should not come in because of shechina purposes. Or alternatively, it means imoch, they should be with you. Not that you're one of the dayonim, but rather the shechina that will reside on them comes via you, but not that you actually join the bezdin. Says the Gemara of Rabbonon. Rabbonon say it's not true. Omakro v'nosu itcho, they shall bear with you b'masa ha'om, the load of the nations. The Torah clearly is stressing that they will bear together with you, which means itcho v'at ba'adayu. They are with you and you are with them. Rabbi Yehuda, no, itcho, the word itcho doesn't mean that you should be together with them on the Bezdin. Rather, it means b'doimin l'cho. They should be with you, meaning they should be similar to you. They must share similar qualities to Moshe Rabbeinu. But again, not that they should be with you, literally, on the Bezdin. Okay, so we're machlokes. V'rabbonon, mi'vahokel mi'olecho, v'nosu itcho nafka. That's actually written with regard to the Sanhedrin Ketana, when Yisrael says that they will relieve the burden from you and you shall be with them. V'yal for Sanhedrin Gedoilin, mi'Sanhedrin Ketana. So I can learn halachas of Sanhedrin Gedolah from Sanhedrin Ketana. So therefore, it turns out we have two halachas. Number one, the Dayanim have to be similar to Moshe Rabbeinu, and in the opinion of Rabbanon, they have to be together with Moshe Rabbeinu, such that the Sanhedrin Gedolah have 71 Dayanim altogether. Rabbanon, Vayishoaru Shnei Anoshim B'machaneh. You'll remember this sugya. And there were two people, we know who they are, Eldad and Medad, who remained in the Machaneh. Now, what does that mean, they remained? If you remember, we saw two pshatim. Yesh Oimrim, there are some who explain that Bakalpi Nishtairu. It remains means they remained in the lottery hat. Kalpi is the lottery box. So what was the story? Shabashah Shomolai HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaMoshe, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, Esfali Shivim Ish Mizikni Yisrael, quote unquote, gather for me 70 elders of Klal Yisrael, Omar Moshe. So Moshe said, well, how am I going to do this? 70 does not divide into 12. So there's going to be jealousy here amongst the nations, amongst the tribes. How should I do this? If I choose 6 from every shevet, well, 6 times 12 is 72, so there's 2 who will not get voted in. Is nimtzu shnayim yaseirim? There'll be two extra. We don't need 72. You told me you only need to choose 70. Every chamisho chamisho mikol shevet. If I just choose five from every shevet, well, where will that take me to 60? Well, if that's the case, nimtzu asara chaserim. Well, then 10 are missing. Every shisha mishevet ze v'chamisho mishevet ze. So if I take six from some tribes and five from another, such that I get altogether 70 tribes, well, that will also cause jealousy. Hareini matil kino bein ashvatim. So I'm going to have jealousy between the tribes. Why is it that our tribe only have five representatives on the Sanhedrin Gedolah, and there are other tribes that have six? Therefore, either way, I do not know, says Moshe Rabbeinu, how on earth am I supposed to go about selecting this 70? So Ma'os, so what did he do? Birer shisha shisha. So he indeed choose six from every shevet, which means there are now 72 candidates, all, as it were, vying for 70 positions. So two are clearly going to have to end up being disappointed.
May I have a quick question? Why all of a sudden is Moshe so concerned with jealousy? I mean, throughout, you know, Hashem says Aaron's going to be a Kohen. These guys are going to be Levites. It caused jealousy with Korach. You know, they decide who's going to be a Huda. Why all of a sudden is this equity thing an issue?
Really detailed over there which who that person should be. But where HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not detail, then it's going to cause jealousy. Why me? Nobody's going to be jealous, sides of Korach, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, clearly, it must be Aaron HaKohen. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided. But if you say, choose somebody, like over here, just choose 70. Well, why him and not me? That's going to cause jealousy. So what did he do? He chose six from every shevet. He got to 72 altogether. Vehevi shivim v'shnayim pitkin. And he brought 72 pieces of paper. Al shivim, on 70 of them, kosav the word zokin, quote unquote, elder. V'shnayim hiniach cholok. And two of them he left blank. And now all 72 have to pick up their piece of paper. So the two, obviously, who pick up the paper, which is blank, are not going to be the Zakenim. Bolalom, he mixed them all up, Vanosnan Bakol, he put them in the lottery box, Omalem, and he said to them, Boyu Batlu Pitkechem, come along and choose your piece of paper. Kol Misha Olobiyode Zokain. Anybody who took the word Zokain, Omar Kvar Kidshachoshomayim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, right, so clearly it's been divinely ordained that you are supposed to be a Zokain. If, however, call me Misha Olobiyode Cholok, if it was a blank piece of paper, then clearly HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want him to be a Dayan. Omar HaMokim Lechofetz Becho, says Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm very, very sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly does not want you to be a Dayan. Ani Ma Eselecha. So I, what do you want from me? There's nothing I could do about it. Now, all of this, the next coming lines, goes into parenthesis. Parenthesis. A similar process is to be found elsewhere. And this was, remember, we said with the Bukhairim, where there was a surplus of Bukhairim, 273, where it says there, you'll find a similar set of circumstances. It says, remember, they had to do a pidyon of all the Bukhairim. How many were there? 22,273. So therefore, the simplest way to do it was to merely strip him of his Kedusha and to transfer that to an equivalent Levi. Problem is, there were 273 Leviim missing because there were only 22,000 Leviim and 22,000 and 273 Bechorim. So for those extra 273, how did they get stripped of their Kedusha? By doing a Pidyon. Similar to what we do, as it were, a Pidyon Aben. How am I going to do this? If I demand of a particular Bechor, please give me your pidyon, and then you will leave your Kedusha, he'll say, excuse me, Podani ben Levi. Why can't I just be paid myself against the Levi and save myself the five shekel? So Ma'asa, instead of deciding it himself. What did he do? Hevi Esra Mishnayim Alofim Pitkin. He bought 22,000 pieces of paper. The Kosav Aleihem Ben Levi. And on those he wrote Levi. Va'al Shloisha V'Shivim U'Masayim. And on 273, Kosav Aleihem chamisha shkalim, balalan, and he now mixed them up. Venosna makalpi. So all 22, 273 b'chayrim all have to choose a piece of paper. And this is now how it works. Mishallah biyadai. Sorry, omalahem. He said to them, tlupit keichem, come along. All of you, b'chayrim, take your piece of paper. Mishallah biyadai ben Levi. If your piece of paper says Levi, then that's how you're going to strip your kedusha by transferring onto a Levi. Omalai kvar podecha ben Levi. But mishallah biyadai chamisha shkalim. Omalai ten pidyoin chavetzei. If you picked up a piece of paper that says you've got to pay 5 shkolin, then I'm very sorry to tell you, you've got to pay up the pidyon and there's nothing else you can do. Now, all of that goes in brackets, in parentheses, because that was just veering off as another example of where we find this type of lottery business. But now we come back to the inyan of the zakim. Reb Shimon Omer, So now, Rashi explained that Eldad and Medad did not take a paper from the hat. So in fact, only 70 Dayanim came forward to take a paper from the lottery box. Why? Because they were afraid that their piece of paper would come out blank. So either way, we now have our first pshat. What does it mean that Ve'yisharu and they remained? Where did they remain exactly? So according to this first pshat, they remained in the lottery box. That's what it means. The second pshat is completely different. Reb Shimon Omer on the fifth line, b'machane nishtayru. When it says that they remained, it means they remained behind in the machane. Why, what happened? B'shar shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe esfali shivim ish. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu instructed Moshe Rabbeinu to choose 70 people, they were very modest and humble. Amru Eldad u'Medad ein anu ru'uin lo'isa gedula. We are clearly not fitting for this type of greatness, and therefore we're remaining behind because we don't really consider ourselves to be worthy candidates to be one of the 70 Zakenim. However, what happened? Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the contrary, hoyel u'mi atatem atzmechem, because you made yourself small and you were humble, Hareini Moisif Gedula al Gedulaschem. Not only will I promote you to greatness, but I will actually promote you to a greatness which is greater still than all of the other Shivim Zakenim. So you didn't consider yourself worthy to be a candidate to be one of the Shivim Zakenim. Well, in fact, the exact opposite is going to happen. Not only are you going to end up being the Shivim Zakenim, you're going to have a certain element of greatness over and above all the others. How so? Uma gedula hoisef lohem. What exactly was this greatness that had got increased for them? Shanavim kulam nisnabu upasku. All other Navim, they prophesied, but it was a one-time thing, and that's it. Then they stopped. Behem nisnabu veloy pasku. But they prophesied and did not stop. They kept on prophesying. So you see that their gedula ended up, in fact, greater. And what was the nevuah? Uma nevuah nisnabu. What was the exact prophecy that they prophesied, with various opinions on that? One opinion says, Omru Moshe Meis, Yeshua Machnes Es Yisrael Eretz. First opinion says they prophesied that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to die and Yeshua is going to be the one to bring Klal Yisrael into Eretz Yisrael. Abba Chonin Oime Mishum Rebeleza, no, Al Iske Slav Hei Misnabim. They actually prophesied about the Slav and they said, Ali Slav, Ali Slav. Reb Nachman Omar, that it was Al Iske Goig U'Mogoig, Hayu Misnabin. They would foretell the war between Goig and Mogoig, which we know is the precursor to the Bias HaMashiach. Shenema, Koyomar Hashem Alekimu Atu, Asher Dibarati Gom Kavmenim B'yad Avdei Nevi'e Yisrael, HaNevi'im B'yom Mehem Shnayim, Lohobi Oyscho Aleim, Al Tikri Shnayim Al Shonim, O Shonim Al Shnayim, Ve'ezo Hi Shnayim. Who are these two? Nevi'im Shenisnamnu B'perek Echod, Nevu'a Achas, who is that? Ave Oimer, Eldad U'Medad. So, various opinions as to exactly what was their Nevu'a all about. Omar Mar, Kol HaNevi'im Kulon, all of the Nevi'im Nisnabu U'Pasku. Behem Nisnabu V'loi Pasku. We just said a moment ago that unlike all the other Nevi'im, they prophesied and kept on going, they did not stop. Minolom, the Pasku. How do you know that the others had a one-time nevuah, but that was it? Ilema, if you're going to tell me midiksev by snabu below yosfu, maybe the word vayosfu can be translated as and they did not carry on doing a nevuah. Alameata koil godel below yosa. When it comes to Hakadosh Baruch Hu's koil, hachanami de lo yosefu, are you going to tell me that Hakadosh Baruch Hu's koil does not continue? That can't be. Elo de lo posak, who is not true. It doesn't ever end. And hosam ksev misnabim. Clearly, it's all inherent in the pasuk. With regard to the shivim zakenim, it says hisnabu, and they prophesize. That's past tense. But with regard to eldad and medad, what does it say? Misnabim. They are prophesizing. So, if it's in the present tense, what does that clearly show? Adain misnabim v'holchim. They are continuously carrying on to prophesize. Says the Gemara in conclusion, it's all fine and well. According to the opinion that says that they prophesied concerning the demise of Moshe Rabbeinu, so now we understand why Yeshua, remember he ran up to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, please, I think you should destroy Eldad and Medad. So clearly he was standing up for the covered of his Rebbe because they were talking about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu, which Lechera is disrespectful. But according to the other two opinions, whether they prophesied about the Slav or Goig or Mogig, so what did they do wrong? So why was he requesting that Moshe Rabbeinu should ruin them? What did they do wrong? Teretz says, it's still not considered Derech Eretz. The Havilei could tell me that Moira Halacha Lefnei Rabbein. Because just like one doesn't paskenei halachic shayla in front of one's Rebbe, so too, Moshe Rabbeinu is the ultimate Navi, and if it's disrespectful for any other Navi to start prophesizing in his presence.
But they weren't in his presence.
Says the Gemara in conclusion, Bishlem Alahanach Tarti. If you hold out the other two opinions, Hainu Diksiv, Mi Yitin. Mi Yitin. What does that mean, Mi Yitin? Mi Yitin, Moshe Rabbeinu responded, he said, no, okay. Let them. He would have allowed them just to continue talking like this. Lo siamu kame. What does that mean? Lo siamu kame. Have you supposed the translation of lo siamu kame?
They didn't finish relating the particular incident to Moshe, so he didn't hear about
exactly. Therefore, because he didn't complete it, therefore he said, let them. He didn't realize that they were prophesizing against him. Place on them the burden, not that it means literally kill them off, but burden them with the oil of the tzibur, and that will finish them off. Okay, went a little bit quickly, but that's our wager in Chazar. I hope we'll be able to finish the whole perek.
Question, but they weren't prophesizing in front of Moshe. Yeshua came to him and said to Moshe, and said, they're prophesizing, but it wasn't in front of Moshe.
Yeah, good question. It must be even at the time of Moshe, 100%. I think it's a good question you're asking.